Good morning, everyone, on this third Sunday after Epiphany, January 23rd. I have got a favor to ask you. What I'd like you to do this week is when you get your Wednesday shout out to read the scriptures of the day, because I'm going to be using all of them in my sermon this morning. So I don't want to read them all right now, but if you've read them over, then you'll understand more what I'm going to preach on today. So let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Next Sunday, we're going to be having our vestry meeting, our annual business meeting of the year, but it's not just business, it's spiritual business as well. And I wondered whether any of these scriptures would have anything to say to us as we prepare for that meeting. Are there any things that would give us an aha moment as we prepare to talk about what's gone on in the year past and to look forward to what's to come? First book, Nehemiah. It's one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. Nehemiah worked for the king of Babylon. The Israelites had been taken into captivity. They were basically slaves in Babylon, but they were also allowed to settle in. They had families there, and the time came for them to return to their country when there was a monarch that was really sympathetic to their cause. Many of the men had gone back to Jerusalem. They'd rebuilt the city walls and the temple that had been taken down when they were taken into captivity. And now, for the first time, the people are meeting together, men and women, all those that could understand scripture, and they were listening to God's word being read. It was probably the first time in 70 years that the word of God had been read in a public place, because they wouldn't have been able to do that in Babylon. And we're told in Nehemiah that when the people heard the word of God preached, they started to weep. We're not told why they were weeping, probably because they had not heard the word of God for so many years. We're also told that when the temple and the wall of the city were built, that there was weeping and there were laughter and joy. The older people who had seen the original temple were weeping because they were comparing it to what they had had before. But the younger people, they'd never seen a temple before. They'd never seen the walls of Jerusalem. So they were laughing. But here they all were, hearing God's word, and they were weeping. We're not told, as I said, why they were weeping. I imagine they were just overcome with emotion. But what Ezra, the priest, said to them is to stop weeping. Do not mourn or weep. Go on your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to them for whom there is nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. As we begin this new year, and we listen to God's word, and we hear these ministry reports being read, sometimes we might feel like weeping, because things have changed so much in the last couple of years. Some of us are still looking back to those church days when we had 50 kids in Sunday school and the church was busting out through the doors. And we look back in sadness. But I think Nehemiah has something to say to us. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength as we look to the future. The joy of the Lord is what's going to get us through, not by grieving what it was like in the past, not by grieving over our limited ability to meet now, but thinking that the joy of God in each of us is enough to keep us going. That's what's going to give us strength. And God still has so many good things he wants to do here at our church. So as we prepare for vestry, let's look on this day and this year to come with joy to see how God can work through us to build the kingdom of God here in the East End of Toronto. Nehemiah, I invite you to read the whole book. It's only 8 chapters, so, and it's an exciting story. 1 Corinthians 12. This is probably a passage that we're all familiar with. It starts like this. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free. We are all made to drink of the one Spirit. We have to remember that we are all together the body of Christ. Because I'm the priest, that doesn't mean I'm personally the body of Christ. Because you're the Sunday school teacher or the treasurer or whatever role that you have at the church, it doesn't mean you personally are the body of Christ. Together, we're the body of Christ. Together, we are all needed to bring about God's kingdom, God's impossible kingdom in this world. The chapter goes on to talk about if the body was just an eye, then how could it move about? If the body was just a leg, how would it see anything? We don't want to put ourselves down because we think, oh, we just have a lowly role in God's church. Every single member is important. Every single one of us, if we're missing, the body is not going to be complete. Now, maybe you think, well, what does that mean, talking about body parts? Well, Paul tells us at the end of the chapter, now you all are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kind of tongues, speaking in tongues. We're all not just one thing. We all have different functions. And if we want to have a church that reflects who Christ is, who the body of Christ is, then all of us are needed. Maybe you think, I don't feel like going to a vestry meeting. They're kind of like boring, eh? They're not. When we think of ourselves as all being part of that body and all needed to make it function, then it becomes exciting because you think, I wonder what my part's going to be in this upcoming year. I remember we had a retreat a few years ago with John McLaverty, and he gave us a big binder on what all the gifts of the Spirit were and how we could find our gifts. And maybe we need to think about, well, what's my function in the body of Christ here at St. Saviour's? As we go into our vestry meeting, let's go in with that attitude as I'm a really important part of this fellowship here. I'm part of the body of Christ. And I'm needed if Christ is going to be shown to the world. And finally, let's look at our gospel. It tells us that Jesus was back in his hometown of Nazareth, the place that he'd been brought up. And it said that he was filled with the power of the Spirit. The joy of the Lord was his strength too. If we want to be filled with the power of the Spirit, then we have to be willing to be filled with that joy of the Lord, the joy that will strengthen us. And it was customary in those days, if you were a visiting rabbi and he was back in his own hometown, to be asked to read the scriptures on the day. And you didn't get to choose them. They were given to you. So we're told that when he went back to Nazareth, everybody was speaking good things about him because at this point he was healing people. He was building up his reputation. And they gave him the book of Isaiah. And he picked out the actual passage in Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it's written. So they gave him Isaiah, and here's what he decided that he was going to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was his mission in life, not to go about and be high and mighty. I mean, after all, he was the Son of God, but to lift up those who had no one else to help them, the poor, the oppressed, the captives, people who were blind, not just physically blind, but blind as in lacking in insight, to let the oppressed go free. If we are part of the body of Christ, that is our mission as well. And then we're told that he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And I love it. It said the eyes of everybody were fixed on him. And this is what he said to them. This was his commentary on what he had just read. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. If we want to know what the kingdom of God looks like, we look to Jesus. It comes down to him. He embodies the kingdom of God within himself. When we have Jesus, we have what we need, because his Spirit is now in us as well. As we look forward to our vestry meeting next Sunday, let's go in strengthened by these scriptures. Yes, we might weep because we think, well, things aren't like they were in the good old days, but that's not the truth. The good old days were the good old days, and the good old days are here right now as well, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, because we are the body of Christ, and we are all needed to get the job done, to show people the loving, embracing kingdom of God that is for everyone. And we've got Jesus right with us. He's what it's all about. He set out our mission for us to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. So let's look to this vestry meeting that we're going to be at next week. Let's come prepared. Let's read the reports that people have painstakingly written and go in with just excitement as to what God is going to do through us and for us in the upcoming year. And let's let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Amen.